Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Kernel of Truth. I'm your host, Brian O'Sullivan. In this podcast, we're going to take a deep dive into network monitoring. I'm joined by a couple of guests to talk about this from their unique perspectives, and I'll let them introduce themselves now. All right, Justin.
Hey, Brian. This is Justin Betts. I'm with Cumulus Technical Marketing, and I work closely with the network management applications here.
All right. And Faye?
Hi, this is Faye. I'm the product manager for Cumulus NetQ. I want to share a little story about SNMP. SNMP started a long, long time ago. It stands for Simple Network Management Protocol. It started out as a temporary solution because at the time we lack of a real network monitoring protocol. However, SNMP lived and survived all these years and widely used by almost every network monitoring tools out there. SNMP has its drawback and has its defects. It can only widely used mostly for counters only. What about the rest of the management stuff? So, Justin, you want to jump in and share your story about flows and telemetry data?
Yeah, Faye, I mean, I think about that evolution as sort of a push versus pull evolution. You know, SNMP is got provisions for both, for traps and pulling, but I think when most people think about SNMP, they're thinking about it as sort of the pull-based mechanism where you kind of bust in like the Kool-Aid man and you're like, hey, what's going on? You know, and not all that information that's asked for has changed and needed updates, but that's sort of how that mechanism has to work. And compare that to the push-based mechanisms like flow and streaming telemetry sort of paradigms. I mean, I feel like that's a lot more useful. It's a lot more efficient because devices get to determine, you know, when they think an update is needed at the management server. They're a lot more close to those sorts of change, be a lot more better informed to know when the management server might need an update and that kind of information.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from an SNMP perspective. I mean, this, you know, the goal is not to say let's, you know, dump on SNMP. Certainly, I mean, it has its uses. It's as Faye, as you point out, it's been around for a lot of years. That being said, it was, as you were saying, it was never designed as the perfect thing that would, you know, handle everything, handle any kind of aspect and keep up with the sort of the, you know, the other changes that have occurred in networking over the last couple decades. Justin, you're talking, you know, pull versus push. I mean, SNMP itself, because it's normally UDP, there's things that miss, for example. I mean, if you're pushing
Definitely.
Out and you just don't get data, there's no data. So how have you guys seen, I mean, Faye, you know, from what customers are asking for from something more robust, more detailed, you know, whether it's flows or stream telemetry?
Yeah, definitely. Especially now we have the new kids on the block. Well, they've been on the block for a while now, like Google and Facebook, who devise their own network monitoring tool to be competitive,
right?
To make sure there's no downtime. So the real-time statistics and real-time network change becomes critical.
Hmm.
And that's where the telemetry data comes in and very handy. As Justin mentioned, the flow is useful too, but however, because of the nature of its sampling data still, so it's not true to the network change.
Right.
So that's why the telemetry data is becoming more and more popular and widely adopted by most of the network operators today.
Yeah, I mean, from a when you talk about aging, you know, of the data itself. So that is, it's a really good point from SNMP perspective. Even if it is accurate, there's a time required in order to get it right, and it's not continuous. It's not kind of thing, and it's the same. Same sort of thing you're discussing with the flows. If you're sampling, assuming your sampling is always correct, that's great. But if right. You sampled at the wrong time,
you
won't get that info.
And generally speaking, lack of details, like SNMP counters, for example, it can tell you how many packets being dropped. It doesn't tell you what packets being dropped and what type of packet application caused the packets to drop. That's
right.
Why the flows and the telemetry data.
Similar to that, I mean, I call that sort of the resolution or granular data problem. Like, you know, it's that measurement versus resource problem where you only have a finite amount of clock cycles, whether it's like in the ASIC or the CPU, to spend time counting and measuring and reporting stuff. And similar to this, systems have gotten a lot faster and have more resources to spend generating audit trails and logs and telemetry, but then it becomes a data management problem.
Right.
What's useful to you? What do you need to retain? Are you performing any additional analytics on that data? And, do those systems scale? So,
From a pure box perspective, the box's job is, whatever, routing, switching, whatever the box's primary job is, that's what it's mostly, hopefully doing most of its time, most of its cycles. And Justin, to your point, if it's spending that time, doing on-box analysis, on-box gathering, on-box things, that's a concern. And that's also, certainly one of the things we're seeing with the advantage of streaming, because it's not, there's ASIC level stuff, but there's cycles in the ASIC. But other than that, it just pushes it out northbound and then says, okay, here's the data.
Right. Which
brings the classic struggle with that was microbursts, at least. Trying to detect a microburst, you monitor interface counters with SNMP, and that does a pretty good job. But, when you're getting sub-second for subscription, are you going to pull sub-second with SNMP?
Right.
Those sort of things become real problems. You're going to spend more time responding to polls, or a significant portion of your time spending responding to polls instead of, calculating routes. And
yeah, you're DDoSing yourself.
And stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, DDoSing yourself with management.
That's right.
There's another problem it brings up a new problem with streaming telemetry data. Now it becomes a problem with the northbound, your monitoring tools. You're collecting all these data from all your network. Then you become the tool that's supposed to be intelligently tell the customer, where the root cause of the network issue is, or even where the issue is.
Right.
That becomes a challenge, and it's being one of the top of the pain point for our customers as well.
Right, and part of that again is I guess to your point that the disadvantage of having more data, right? I mean, at first blush you'd be like, well, of course I want more data.
Right.
I need the streaming. I need to get a lot off. But if you have 100,000 data points and only 3 of them are actually useful, and that signal to noise ratio is that low, that can be a big concern. Again, just from a customer perspective, what are the these are things that they will talk about and ask about. I mean, what are customers more interested in getting more data and being helped with analyzing the larger amounts of data, or are they instead preferring to say, well, give me more selective data and I won't have to do any additional analysis. What do you, when you talk with folks, what are you kind of seeing?
All the above.
Yeah.
So let me give you an example. ArvStorm, right? Recently received a request from a customer. How do I detect and resolve an ArvStorm in my network? It happens all the time. I don't know how to deal with this. And there are many mechanisms to suppress ArvStorm. There's EVPN suppression. There's at a VLAN level, you can suppress the storm. But it doesn't help. At the end of the day, you still need to send some counters up to your monitoring tool and say, hey, when this interface gets the broadcast counter gets to a certain percentage, that's probably an ArvStorm, and they should do something about it. So it's a challenging problem. The solution comes on many ways.
Yeah. I agree with you, Faye. I think analysis is really where the hard work is. I think like getting data to a centralized location kind of broadly or generically is not that hard. People know how to work with SNMP. Like, you can SNMP get pretty easily. It's like, what do you do with that data? I think that sort of analysis,
what's the actions?
That ties into then like alerting, is really where the hard work is. I mean, that's where really the tough stuff is done, the tough and custom work.
And then what are the actions you can take based upon that? So now you've figured out that there is an issue.
Yeah.
What can you do to...
And generally speaking, the tool that's too smart for the customer, saying that, you can automatically detect ArvStorm, automatically suppress it for you, is scary for the customers.
Right.
They actually prefer to have their own control and knows exactly what the tool does for them instead of having
tool.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about how harmful false positives can be.
Exactly.
If you're always doing a false positive or shouting false positives, then it really desensitizes people to alerts.
Yeah.
It's sort of why, when there's an actual emergency, you hear on PA systems, this is not a drill. It's because drills and, so many false positives can be so harmful towards the switch who, you know, perception of the problem.
The switch who cried wolf is what we're saying.
Yeah, yes. The switch who cried wolf. That's yes. Exactly yeah. It.
That's right.
So, customers are saying that and saying they, you know, there's more information, more help determining what is there from the information. At the same time, being able to act upon that information once it's there, but at the same time, not maybe, you know, automatically acting on that information.
Yeah, not so it doesn't
overreacting, maybe, right. I guess is a better way to put it. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So
yeah. And so also arrays, and almost every monitoring tools out there are trying to reducing the ticket time to, you know, time to resolution from the time the ticket is filed to the time where the troubleshoot, the root cause is identified. Every monitoring tools out there claiming that they can reduce this time, but in reality, how many can actually do it?
Mm.
And what's the customer's expectation? So from my personal experience is that customer's expectation is actually quite low. They know there's challenges and they'd rather get accurate information than wrong information.
Mm-hmm.
And because they wanted the problem to be solved accurately.
Right.
Of course, they're all looking for efficiency. That's still a challenge for everybody.
So with that, I mean, you know, the customer has a system, they've built a system that either themselves, they have some commercial thing, whatever, that gives them this information. And obviously that's a good thing. And they're able to run quicker and resolve things more rapidly. So if they haven't done that, and the impact, if they either don't have anything or don't have something that's robust. I mean, what is the negative impact that we've kind of seen?
Well, very slow response in fixing the network issues,
right.
You know, network downtime, all these problems that cause all sorts of operational downtime and
yeah, like I said earlier, I think false alarms are pretty well known. I mean, I think everybody's right. Got a story or knows about some maybe previous job where the alerting system was just terrible. It either didn't work or gave you just too many alerts, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. However, there's a new...
It can really derail your work, though, you know.
However, there's a new type of monitoring tools that's coming up using the latest technology, more of a leveraging Google, Facebook infrastructure.
Mm.
So number one is that you'd be able to collect the data largely and correctly and be able to scale.
Right.
Number two is that having the latest tool to do more of an AI algorithm to do analytics that's more accurate and learns over time. Not overarching, saying that, you know, we can solve your problem overnight. So that's the right approach for the new network monitoring tool.
Mm.
Be able to scale, be able to perform, and be able to provide the basics for customers to do some control and at the same time learn the algorithm as it goes. And
to get better.
To get better,
yeah. I mean, and this is something, you know, we've talked about in previous podcasts. The actually, Justin and I just did a webinar on this just the other day about how to start out. I think that's one of the things that folks are sometimes, I'll say, concerned with. And it's not scary necessarily, but if there's something where they say, okay, I've been using SNMP, you know, Faye, as you point out, certainly everyone has SNMP. It's been there. They've been using it for a while. They're comfortable with it. They know exactly what it does and what it doesn't do. You know, if they're talking with folks or they're talking with their management and say, well, we can get a system that is more scalable and faster and gives more information. How do we, you know, talk with them to make sure that it's not just a complete sea change with everything they're doing, and how can they kind of go into it either, you know, step by step and changing things a bit at a time, or just something so it's not, you know, something to freak them out and changing everything?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Everybody's solving it differently. Mm-hmm. There are tools out there predicting behavior. We call it, you know, the behavior-based monitoring tools. There's tools, you know, are still living the past, still mm-hmm. doing the old counter collection. There's a tool that's new set of tools coming up saying that, maybe it's not the right way to solve the problem. The right way to solve the problem is take one problem at a time and be able to give customer clear control. You know, go back to the ARP storm example. Right. You know, instead of telling them that, hey, we have this AI algorithm predicting or what's your expectation of the ARP storm? We're just simply saying that this is the old way, you know, same way we've been controlling the ARP storm. And we're giving you control, saying that, you know, if the interface goes to a certain percentage, is flooded with broadcast packets, maybe that's an indication. We give you a high and low watermark and let you control it. But over time, we'll be able to predict, saying that where the ARP storm most likely will happen. Based on the knowledge we learned over time.
Right.
Yeah.
And Justin, are you seeing...
It's a good question, Brian.
Sorry, go ahead.
You mean in terms of getting started? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good question. You know, it's... I suppose if someone... Today, if I were to suggest to someone to get started in a new type of monitoring, I'd probably look into some cloud or, like, you know, monitoring as a service types of solutions. Mm. You know, if we talk a lot about scale... you know, having something on-prem is fine, and I'm sure there are a lot of products that can cluster and scale, but that sort of really eliminates a lot of that headache for you. You know, if you're going to do something that can, like, aggregate on-premise and then stream to a cloud and do all that deep analytics there, you know, that seems like a big shortcut, especially since, right. you know, there are a lot of those kinds right. of offerings coming out. You know, you've got a lot more opportunities to get a big head start versus trying to build and maintain sort of your own homebrew highly custom monitoring system, you know?
Right.
I totally agree. Yeah, because the more data that we're not talking about personal data. This is management data.
Right.
The more management data for an analytics that can collect, the more algorithm it will build and more knowledgeable it will be able to share with everybody.
Yeah, especially as we're getting into those hot things like machine learning and AI right. are becoming components of good network monitoring, yeah.
Well, the other thing is from a... you know, depending on how much data you're extracting, even a smaller network, I mean, obviously, you know, as you point out, the Googles and the Facebooks, they have a ton of network gear and they have a lot of data that they're analyzing and gathering. But even if you're dealing with something smaller, you know, you have a campus environment, you've got 50 1 gig switches or 15 1 gig switches, smaller, it can still, you can still be talking about a fair bit because, again, based on what we were talking about at the outset, the difference between getting, you know, 5 traps per minute per device or 5 traps per hour per device and getting streaming telemetry at all times can be significant. So even scale at the smaller deployments can still be something to be. You know, concerned with.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
because we're detecting behavior change. We're not, you know, detecting
right.
quantity of data, trying to find, you know, from a pattern from quantity of data. So quality of data is what we're looking for.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, even as a matter of logistics and geography, you know, a lot of like retailers, for example, have lots of sites, point of sales. You know, kind of centralizing that, getting that in the cloud is sort of a lot easier way to manage it, you know, instead of having
right.
to worry about having something on-prem or having to connect all of these, you know, but some kind of MPLS or VPN to get you back home to your custom environment.
Right.
Your custom management system, you know, cloud systems, cloud kind of deployments are really nice for that as well.
Yeah. So now we've talked about SNMP and MPLS. So I would say, was this podcast recorded?
MPLS, right?
Yeah, exactly. I would say, was this podcast recorded in the 90s, but there was no such thing as podcast in the 90s, so that shows that it couldn't have been. But no, I mean, I think this is similar to what we see in a lot of other areas where there's newer technology folks can take advantage of and really improve their overall experience and their overall, you know, feedback they're
right.
they're getting.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Kernel of Truth. We'll be posting show notes on the Cumulus blog. You can find a ton of educational material on Cumulus, on open networking industry as a whole. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. That way you get notified when the next episode is posted. And of course, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. All right. Thanks.